Don't fall for the temptation. I told you last time, God taught me that one earlier. I tried to be humble, all right? But I scold myself very high when it comes to children, especially. You do whatever you want to do, you ain't dragging a negative word from my mouth. Over your life, I'm a God, I'm a prophet. Say what you want to say, do what you want to do. No, I won't fall for it. Life is tempting. I understand you're a temptation. That this is your behavior. It is Satan trying to tempt me to pronounce upon you what I don't want to see in your life. Do you understand that? And when I pronounce it, it will come to pass. So, no. I have said, you are gods. And I am preaching to children of God today. Understand it. That was why God brought Eve to Adam. Because he said to Adam, you are a God here. What do you say about the situation? Say it, she will hear you. Listen, God created everything quite all right. Created the heavens and the earth before the man came. But when he put the man there and said to him, in effect, I have said to you, you are a God here. What he was saying, that what I have created, look at it and tell it how to function. The reason why you have volcanoes or these problems, storms, is what the Bible means when it says the foundations of the earth, they are shaken. He said they don't understand. So they are walking around like ordinary people. They are talking like ordinary people. They sit down and talk anyhow. But Jesus said something. He said, anyone who will experience results, both in direct prophesying and in prayer, must be somebody who understands that normally what I say comes to pass. I hope you understand that. Let me get back to what I was going to say earlier. I feel so strongly about that. That is why, listen, you don't lie to yourself. Like, number one, you don't lie to yourself. You don't lie to anybody. Lying ruins your ability to believe God. It does. You answer your phone, where are you? I know there are different ways of confusing yourself. I have left my house. Yet you are at the door. You know that kind of thing. And they might expect you in Oka. You want to give me the impression you are at 9 Mile. What you are doing, all right? What you are doing is that you are confusing your soul. You are confusing your system. Tomorrow when you say, God, give me money, God sends you leaves. Why? It looks like money. Both of them are green. Yes, that's my point. Why? That's the system you have created inside your system. Confusion. You answer a call because the person won't know. Where are you? I'm in Lagos. There's one joke somebody sent the other day. He said, Eddie, I never get your money. In fact, now the hospital I did since. So now the fifth drip in my hand right now. I guess he meant the fifth bottle of Star. He was there drinking, eating, feeling fat. What he doesn't realize is that when you talk like that, you are calling sickness. There are two things. One, you are making your words useless. And the number one thing, listen, when God was enabling Adam, think about it. You know when Adam was on the earth, you know what they call dinosaurs now? Now, this is a prophetic word I'm giving you. I don't want any scientists to come and argue with me the lies they've told him that so as to survive scriptures. All right? What you call dinosaurs now were on the earth in the time of Adam. A lot of them, I don't know how much of them, but Adam met a lot of them. And I know, if you read the scriptures, Job knew them. So down even after the flood, they were still around because Job knew dinosaurs. By the time of Job, all right, I assume they were few. Okay? Because you'll understand, if you read the scriptures well, you'll understand that the things on the earth have been very dynamic. It's just not just how it was when God put the man there and he expected things to change. So some things go, some things come. You understand? And then, of course, let me not digress into the issue of global warming or global cooling. But believe me, most of the things you hear outside, they are fat lies. Even scientists know, they just refuse to publish it. The fact that the earth is getting warmer is not strange. All right? The earth has always gone around in cycles. All right? It's always gone around in cycles. In the early 70s, they used to ask, is the next big freeze coming? The earth was cooling very fast. And what they call Greenland, you've heard of Greenland? Greenland is, you know why it's called Greenland? It was green. If it is now, they will have called it white land, because now it's always snow, you know, and ice. But that time it was green. So scientists like to just deceive us, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but they have their reasons. They have their reasons. They have their reasons. Part of their reasons, should I tell you? It is to drive scientific research into producing alternative, you know, energy, so as to reduce the Western dependence on Arab fuel. And anybody here, you say, this guy, you believe in conspiracy too much. The other one I've told you is fact. So the earth goes around in cycles. So let me get back to what I was saying. So you see, dinosaurs were there then. Back to what I was saying. They were. How do I know? It's just by reading what the Bible calls Leviathan in the book of Job. And God discussed Leviathan with Job, which tells that Job knew Leviathan. And if you go and see the description of Leviathan, of everything you have ever seen or heard of, the only thing that fits it is a dinosaur. I thought about it, I said, that thing has to be a dinosaur. Then one day I took a Bible dictionary, I was going through it. Go and just read it, I don't have time to go through it, in the book of Job. I read one of these Bible dictionaries, the man finished describing Leviathan and said, nobody understands exactly what fits right now. He said, it's possibly it was a dinosaur. I said, oh, it's not even Revelation. Men have written it in books. Let's not go there. The point I'm talking about is this. When God planted Adam in the midst of Leviathans, mammoths, do you understand? Lions that you know today, sabers, that is tigers with long teeth, all kinds of things. Do you think God ever, listen to what I'm saying, do you think God ever expected Adam to see a lion and run? I'll tell you the truth, no. He gave him dominion over every beast. I'm bringing out something to you. The spiritual power in Adam was like this. If a dinosaur comes near where it's not supposed to go, Adam will come there, mark a line, and say, no dinosaur crosses here again. All of you heard me. And then the dinosaurs will reach there and talk to themselves. I said, this was where the God of this place, I have said, you are gods. They will understand this is where God said, not God in heaven, but the one we can see. He said, we shouldn't cross here. Adam will have set a limit for their migration with his mouth. One day, one sister was talking with me about one of our brothers. No, I got to know her somewhere else. Then the course of our gist, she realized that we now realized we knew the same people. And I said, we're not talking about one of the brothers. That one day, their neighbors, they were walking on the road. And that the brother had always been telling her, their neighbors, that you fear too much, and fear is not good. You know, he's been telling her. So that day they were walking on the road. She told me this, that day it was striking. I think they ran into a dog. I don't know what was wrong with the dog, whether the dog was angry with them. And so the dog was running, charging towards them. And she took off, you know, tired running. The guy just held her and said, I told you, there's no need to be afraid. He doesn't know the dog. He just turned around. As the dog reached and said, stop in Jesus' name. He just told the dog, stop in Jesus' name. The dog just stopped there. Turned around and ran away. He just told her simply, I told you there's no need to be afraid. Let us go. He didn't know the dog go. Oh, I gave this testimony to one of our brothers the other day. He was on the road in Benin. Got to a junction. Suddenly some boys blocked him on the bike, pulled out a gun. Of course, aimed the gun at him, wanted to rob him. And one of them made the mistake of threatening him. Come down or I shoot you now. Suddenly, the spirit of faith entered into the young man. And he said, shoot me. Shoot me. He suddenly got angry. And said, die in Jesus' name. The boy fell down there, pam, on the road. He started his car and continued driving. He heard the gun hit the floor as the metal hits the tarmac. He started his car. The other boys quickly rushed their colleague. He just drove off. Like I said, Jesus caused the tree. He didn't know whether... He didn't care. The tree, you'll be dying on your own time. That's your problem. Said, I have said, you are gods. He said, but they don't know. They don't understand. They don't know what it means. So they weaken their spiritual energy by using their mouth wrongly. I was talking about Adam. That was the tool that God gave Adam to keep everything in check. Adam would have come to the garden or whatever part of it, because God gave him the commandment to guard it and keep it. He was supposed to tend the garden. He was supposed to just be swinging up and down like... What's the name of that guy in the jungle? Tarzan, yes. That was not the idea. Swing up and down like Tarzan, eat the fruit and just be playing. No. He was supposed to keep things in check. The man will look at erosion and say, the flow of this thing is not good. So he will speak and say, this stream shouldn't flow this way again. It should flow the other way. And that's it. Listen, many of the results we get here by medical research, scientific research, and all of those things. Remember, God said to Adam, now from the sweat of thy brow, you will get results. Many of them will have been solved with ordinary words. I don't know what I heard I say. You know this one that we have been, you know, they finally launched the phase one trial of one Ebola vaccine, finally succeeded. And then hopefully by mid next year, it will be rolled out. Those guys, they can bring out 1 million doses in a day or in a week. All right? Okay. Ebola has been killing, for months, been killing people, running up and down. If it was when gods understood what it meant to be gods, what would the gods have done? They would have come together. Because now it's not just Adam, there are many. What do we do? So this Ebola has gone too far. They will have simply said to Ebola, it is enough. And when they say it is enough, Ebola will start winding down by itself. Ebola will have started winding down by itself. But now, from the sweat of our brows, we are eating bread. Unfortunately, we have now idolized the sweat. So that people have more faith in scientific research than they have in the spoken word from the mouths of the gods that God placed on the earth. Of course, my message is to the gods sitting in front of me. To the gods listening to this by any medium, watching it on TV. To the gods listening to it by tape, by CD, on the internet. Whatever, my message is this. Understand that you are a god. It is not, what are you preaching? I'm preaching the scriptures. Psalm 82. He said, I said you are gods. But you don't understand. So what you find, if you read from the beginning, they start judging unjustly. Instead of them to vindicate the weak and the fatherless in verse 3, they are the ones oppressing. And these are the very things that remove the power of God from them. That's what I'm trying to explain. These are the things that remove the power. Every disobedience to divine order. Every disobedience to divine order removes your ability to function as God ordained for you to function on the earth. That's what I'm talking about. The more men, women disobey God, the more they have to labor physically to get results. Otherwise, they will have spoken. Do you get what I'm saying? They will have had to just speak. You know, Jesus was in a difficult situation one day. He said, what do we do? They said, oh yeah, pay your taxes. No money. Judas had taken everything. He just simply said to Peter, take your hook, go to the river, go to the sea, catch a fish. The first fish you will find has something in its mouth. Let me say something to you. If as at that time, the fish didn't have anything in his mouth, as soon as he spoke, the fish will go and hunt for a coin and swallow it. Because God said, whatever he says, hear him. The fish will have, in fact, one angel will make two people fight on a boat over money. It will fall inside water. The fish will dive in there, catch one, then swim to where Peter will arrive. Peter will, cast his hook. That fish will say, please, other fishes enjoy, I have to be caught. Why? Because the Son of God spoke by his words. Listen, when he was casting out evil spirits, the Bible says he cast them out with a word. That was what the centurion understood. And he said, speak the word only. And Jesus said, ha, this guy has understanding. And his understanding has made him of the kind of, make him have the kind of faith that I never saw anywhere else in Israel. Again, it's back to my mind. Your words, they are the most precious thing that you have as a carrier of divine presence. Therefore, use them well. My emphasis for today in that area is don't twist them for any reason. Don't lie with them. Henceforth, if you feel a form, please tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you say, I don't feel confident enough to tell the truth, don't fill the form. Leave it. Say, this is the one with which they will give me a visa to go to some. Just say, then don't go. Don't go. I told the testimony that one brother sent to us the other day. He said he heard me preach. He had gone to the American embassy twice or three times. I don't know the number of times. And they always denied him the visa. He wanted to go for a particular stuff. So next time he decided to go for the interview again, he said he remembered my testimony. He wrote, he didn't tell one single lie. This time around, he walked in. They did not even check what he wrote. They just handed him the visa. Go. Listen, I'm bringing Christians, children of God, to a new level. Understand that this issue is not, if you die, you will go to hell. If you lie, you will die and go to hell. I think we have established it. You are not going to go to hell. If you think you may go to hell here, shout a loud amen. If you think you may, that is 50-50. If you are living your life so that you will not go to hell. Anyway, no point you shouting amen. It's a nonsense way to live life. I am living life because I am a citizen of heaven. If you are like me, say amen.
Amen.
What we are saying is that will heaven come down to the earth through us? That's what we are saying. Every time you pick the phone and you tell somebody you are in local jail when you are supposed to be in Enugu, and you know you are in Enugu, just know that you have shortened, you have reduced your ability to control life. That is why a lion will charge at you and you can't tell it stop. Why? Because these are spiritual things. You have weakened it. Now when you shout stop, it feels like a breeze in the face of the lion. So he pounces. The thing that God gave Adam as God, you know what I mean, as a God, to control things were his words. So many of the struggles you go through today, they are a result of a curse. No, I don't know what I finally wrote that article. What I call laboring under a curse. Let me redefine it now. I'll give a new title. Laboring under a curse and bragging on the results. Let me say it again. Laboring under a curse and bragging on the results. Many of the things we do in life, many of the principles of business we operate, they are principles written for those that God cursed and said, from the sweat of your brow you will get bread. He didn't say he will not eat. He said the difference now is that instead of you speaking words and the earth responding to you, now you have to sweat and dig and do all kinds of things. So men will write books, The Power of Networking. Actually, networking has power. When you allow your words to build a network for you, do you understand my point? When you have to use your own labels to network so as to get the result, and they come and give you testimony. Most rich people I know, the other day I was reading the story of this man. If you watch some versions of Dragon's Den or the American version, Shark Tank, you'll find him there, Kevin O'Leary. Somebody gave me his book. As I was reading, I was marking, this is not right, this is wrong. This is a work of a man under a curse. Almost all of them I know, they emphasize something. I read Ted Turner, I told the story. Ted Turner was working 18 hours a day. That's the man who built CNN. At the point in time, it was worth $10 billion. Paul Getty at the time was the richest man in the world. These are the stories I've read. And all of them emphasize on one thing. Rise up early, go to bed late. And this interesting part, they got results. They did. All these men I mentioned came out billionaires. All of them. I said, I don't care. I know the truth. Let me tell you something. The issue is that just trust the word of God. The results therein, all right, have not been publicized. Yes, they've not been publicized. Most people that got results with the word of God, God did not even allow them going to the public eye to make noise. Were it not for the crisis of Obamacare and all of that, most people never heard of David Green. Some say, who's David Green? If you have a smartphone, you have this Bible software on your smartphone, they call it a YouVersion. That's the man who pays for you to get it free. I tell you, things are not, they are never free in life. If they appear free, somebody's paying. You go there, just download the YouVersion. David Green personally pays for that. He owns a company called Hobby Lobby. Was it last year when we went to the US, my wife said, no matter what, she must go and buy something from Hobby Lobby just to say, I bought something from David Green's shop. She didn't need anything, no, just to have told her friend for me, where is Hobby Lobby? They drove to Hobby Lobby, she walked in, bought some things. Because she had read the man's story. We read some of his articles that appeared in one of these magazines. The man is a billionaire. It's worth about $2 or $4 billion. It's one guy who dragged the United States government to court. But listen, I have the right to run my business on my, you know, religious principles. And the Obamacare cannot force me to pay for the kind of contraception that I think is against the word of God, and I will not pay for abortion. He won in that court of appeals. He said, thank you, I won here, but let's drag it to Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court can just finally put this thing to rest. So he won there also. Now he rested. And won for many people. Many people never heard of David Green. The man built his business operating biblical principles. I read the story of Henry Ford. And Henry Ford never said, wake up early, go to bed late. Yet, that man built businesses. He built, in today's value, that man, in fact, I'm not sure whether he didn't make it also to be the richest man in the world at the time. If not, then he would have been like number two or number three at a particular point in time. Henry Ford. Please, I'm bringing an issue. So don't let the world teach you. You know, sometimes you know, you've heard it before. Men that they tell you that you read this analysis. Now, please, I'm not anti-Jew, you understand? If you believe I'm anti-Jew, raise up your hand. All right, you know I'm not. I'm pro-everybody. The only thing I say, which is different from what other Christians say, is that whether you're an Arab or a Jew, you are the same in the eyes of God. That is the only one I say that most Christians don't say. That most preachers disagree with me. No, they don't disagree with me. I'm the one that disagrees with them. Yeah, they said their own first. You know what I'm trying to say? It's popular doctrine. I don't believe, just for the records, I don't believe a word of it. It's not true. Let's forget whether I believe it or not. It's not true. As far as God is concerned, the Iraqi Muslim, and Benjamin Netanyahu are unbelievers. Anyone who says Jesus is not the Son of God, what is he? A normal Jew swears that Jesus is a fake Messiah. I hope you understand that. That's part of their fundamental beliefs. They laugh at you. The only thing they like about you is two things. Two things they like about you. One, most of you are in America, so you support them. People like, what's the name of our brother? John Hagee, Pat Robertson, all those people, they gather many people to support them. And they like that. Wouldn't you like it? You see that at home, everybody's supporting you. Two, all the confused parts of you in Nigeria, you come as tourists coming to Holy Land. And when you are coming, you buy dollar. And you spend dollar. Hotels are not cheap, nothing is cheap there. I hope you know that. Let's tell ourselves the truth now. Forget all this religious joke we crack all over the place. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. All the promises of God are confirmed only in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ, you are an unbeliever. And Jesus comes tomorrow, you are going to hellfire. It doesn't care whether your grandfather is Abraham. Listen, let's address this. Some Christians don't understand. Listen. In Israel, no, think about it now. John the Baptist, what did he say to them? Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. The same people we are idolizing, you are our senior brothers in the faith. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil.
That was what Jesus said to the Jewish establishment in these days. John the Baptist said something to them. He said, you say Abraham is our father. He said, listen to me. God is able to raise stones up as children for Abraham. He said, you must understand that. The axe has been placed at the root of every tree, and anyone that won't bear fruit is coming down. I don't know where we read some of these our doctrines that we preach. That's what I explain. You find Ayatollah Khamenei. If you preach the gospel to him, he believes he's a favored person with God. If you walk up to Benjamin Netanyahu and he does not believe, he's an unbeliever. And there is a lake of fire for those who look the Son of God in the face and say to him, square, you are a fraud. People say God made promises. Don't you read? He said in Christ Jesus, the wall of partitioning has been removed. That those promises apply to everybody. And they are only confirmed in Christ. Listen. To say you are not inferior, it's insulting you to have to remind you are not inferior to a Jew. You are superior in the eyes of God. Not because of you, but because of Christ. He said he came unto his own. His own did not receive him. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. How can you tell me those who rejected him are superior to those who accepted him? I hear Christians preach that thing and I get shocked. They say, if you want to prosper, you get a Jew on your business. A Christian. A Christian. A Christian. There are statements you must never utter. You are saying that I should get somebody who did not believe to come and bring a blessing into the life of the fellow who believed. Is it not clearly stated in your scriptures that the blessing of Abraham is upon those who are his true descendants, who Paul explained in Romans chapter 4, the descendants are those who are of faith. He said the seeds he was talking about was not seeds as of many, but one seed, and that seed is Christ. What are you talking about? Then a Christian will start a business and think it's an advantage to get a son of Jacob who denies the deity of Christ, who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, that I need him to bless my business. You are mental. Come on, let's magnify this our Christ too. Because there's a reason why I went into that. I was trying to explain the principle that people have misrepresented our Christ. They will do statistics and show you the number of Jews who won Nobel Prizes, the number of Jews that did this. They have never done any study to show the number of true Christians who did anything. Give me one. You've never seen any study. I have a book in my house, The Jewish Phenomenon. They show you how Jews have been outstanding. And I agree with them. I don't disagree. What I am just saying is I have never seen a study that sat down and analyzed true believers in Christ and show what they brought out onto the earth. They've never done it. And I'm saying to you from the knowledge of scriptures, it's difficult to do anyway. I understand. Because the other ones are easy. It's natural descent. Born of flesh. But people born of the spirit are difficult to identify. They are difficult. Because they are like the wind. The wind blew it where it listed. They are so difficult to understand. The few of them we have seen what they have done. I'm not saying you should copy him in this area, all right? I'm not saying you should copy him. But this Bible tells you that if you don't bless a Jew, you will not be blessed. Listen, forget it, all right? Let me just say something. Don't copy this, though, because you must love all men. All right? If you love Muslims, say amen. If you love Nigerians, say amen. If you love Arabs, say amen. If you love Jews, say amen. If you love Americans, say amen. And if you love Russians, say amen. If you love Russians, say amen. If you love Vladimir Putin, say amen. Yeah, it's important you love him. Don't believe all that lie they tell you on television these days. There's one reason why I'm not against Vladimir Putin. Just one reason. You know what's going on in Crimea, then Georgia, Georgia was before. That's south Ossetia and the other place. And right now, Ukraine, all right? Bringing up Ukraine, all those areas. You know why I have never... One brother called me one day, what do you think about what's going on with Putin? I said, I've not heard the start of the story. Yeah, have you heard the start of the story? The media has not spoke... It doesn't speak English. You understand my point? That's one problem with English. English is dominant. You don't speak English in this world of today, you're at a disadvantage. Just by the way, no, we say many things. We know when we come here, we learn all kinds of things. And that the one brother that came here, I said, when he described what goes on in Cameroon and some of these other African countries, and I was really impressed. I said, how come they are not so out there like Nigeria? He said, that's the problem. They don't speak English. They speak French. So this French as a national language, as of today, is a disadvantage. No, when God gives kingdoms, there's a way he does things, though. You understand my point? So, because Russians, they are not there. English is not their primary thing. So, they can't easily communicate with you. So, the people you listen to on that issue now are the Western powers. They control CNN, control BBC, you understand? They control everybody that feeds you with information. I'm not saying they are wrong. I'm just saying you can't judge. That's what I've said. So, is what Putin doing, is it good? I have no way of knowing. Be careful how you judge things. So don't let CNN form the mind of God for you. The Lord is good. You know, if you see what I have done, I have not told you Putin is good. I've just told you that he is not bad. He has not been stating his own side of the story. You know, what was I saying? I was saying that, you know, this guy, so I was saying, if you love Russia, you know, we're talking about if you love this, that's how I got there. You know, Henry Ford. Do you know the truth about Henry Ford? Don't copy this. You know, that's where I started from. Please don't copy it. Say amen. Uh-huh. You don't even know what you're saying amen to yet, but I'm just begging you not to copy it. Now, Henry Ford hated Jews. Henry Ford. No, you know me, do I hate Jews? No, answer me now. I'm just saying that whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are the same. That's all I have said. I love Jews, and I love people from Adamawa State, and Kogi State, and Enugu State, and Ghana, Ghanaians. I love everybody. But do you know Henry Ford hated Jews? Did he still not prosper? So that lie they are telling you that if you don't love Jews, you won't prosper. If you hate anybody, it's a sin. Jews or Gentile. Any Christian, you shouldn't have hatred in you. And I think that one, being in the life of that man, must have had his own problems. But I just want to understand, all right? That being a believer in Christ Jesus is superior. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you were able to do the study, like I said, just that it's difficult because it's a spiritual substance we're dealing with. If you were able to do the study, you'll have discovered that Christianity has brought more into this earth, has made more people successful, has healed people's sicknesses. You will have discovered it. I went into that trying to explain something. So people, sometimes they write books on people struggling under the curse of Adam, but who succeeded? They write books on that premise. And then Christians buy it and want to live like it. After Adam lost out, he began to operate under a curse. With that struggle, he got some success. They want to copy that. That's what I'm trying to say. And we have to be careful that we don't. Follow the word of God. And the way you follow it, I told you before, the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is sanctification. It is not, oh God, if I get into this business, it is the call of God for my life. Listen. Yes, God has a plan. But the will of God is sanctification. So how do I succeed? I sanctify. Did you hear what I said? My key to success is sanctification. What is sanctification? I weed out every human and natural idea concerning what I'm doing and take divine ideas. That's sanctification. That's sanctification. And I'm saying to you today, let me close, that listen, if you walk in that sanctification, if you walk with that sanctification, what you are doing, that you are stepping into the realm of walking like gods. That day I finished talking with that man I was talking about. One of our brothers was with me. He came out. He said, there's one thing that morning was listening to Pastor Poju preach. And Pastor Poju said that all the experiences, listen to this. This faith, because there are different ways God builds your faith. All these faith building experiences of life that men have from many interactions. He said, Pastor Poju explained. As if he knew we were going to have that discussion that day. He said, just by interacting with the word of God, you've not gone out. You are in your house. You interact with the word of God, you can be built up to that level. That one day you walk straight into Hilton, they'll think you live there every day. Do you understand my point? Where are you coming from? From reading your Bible. That's how they told the story. I read the story of George Washington Carver. It was a black man, a scientist. In the time that slave trade was just ending, George Washington Carver addressed the Senate and the lower house. George Washington Carver, a black man, a scientist. They said he spent more time in his lab reading his Bible than conducting research. What they used to do? In fact, one brother told us the story. He said that one day the man was praying. And he said, God, I want to know the secrets of the universe. And God said, you can't understand it. It's too much. Ask me for something else. So he took the groundnuts. I said, tell me about the groundnut. By the time he was through, he had brought out over 200 products from the groundnut. Have you ever gone to school to learn shifting cultivation? That was his idea. He had to, when American crop was failing, he was the one that came to explain to them, you need to shift the crops. He was one that came to explain that we have over-farmed the land. So what we'll do is that we'll move the cotton crop away and put legumes inside. What you now, later on, you start reading as, you know, biology, leguminous plants, nitrogen fixation. A man came to understand it because he used to interact with this divine spirit inside his laboratory. I have said, you are God. Let's bow down here and begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Say, Lord, we give you thanks.